Chapter 7, Section 4, Comments on and the Limits of Evolution. It's important to note that unlike diffusion, evolution cannot be determined over time. It can only be measured over the ubiquity of the act versus its certainty, i.e. how complete, well understood and fit for purpose it is. Whilst we can use the evolution curve to say that a specific component will evolve over an undetermined amount of time to become more of a commodity, we cannot say precisely when this will happen but only what will happen if it survives. It is less prediction, in the formal sense of change over time, and more anticipation of change. Furthermore, the evolution curve can only be precisely determined for the past, i.e. the act needs to become stable and reach the point of certainty for us to determine its point of ubiquity and therefore calculate the path it has taken. This means we cannot accurately determine where something is on the evolution curve until it has become a commodity, at which point we can determine where it was in the past. Hence, we are forced to rely on a cheat sheet based upon changing characteristics, 106 Chapter 2, along with weak signal analysis to estimate where something is. There is unfortunately no crystal ball to the future and we have to embrace a degree of uncertainty until it reaches the point of stability and becomes certain. Since we must rely on changing characteristics and weak signals, if available, to determine where something is on a map, then a current map is developed from the consensus of those involved. This can be manipulated or influenced by existing bias, hence it is important to not only be transparent with the maps but allow for challenge to them. The maps are imperfect representations of what exists and the axes do constrain a view of the world based upon the anchor, user need, the value chain, position, and evolution, movement. The mapper must accept that the maps are not real any more than a geographical map is real. The question, however, is not whether it is real but whether it is useful. As evolution deals with the change to the act itself, it does not care whether some specific change is incremental or disruptive to the past. A company may produce a better product, for example a better cable excavator, or instead a product may be substituted by another, for example cable versus hydraulic excavators, but the act of digging holes doesn't change. Instead, we simply have a more evolved way of doing this. Today, the evolution of computing infrastructure from product to utility is disruptive for the past product industry, but the act of consuming computing infrastructure isn't new, it is simply more evolved. Every activity I have examined throughout history follows this path. The genesis of the humble screw can be traced back to Archytas of Tarentum, 400 BC. The principle was later refined by Archimedes and also used to construct devices to raise water. Over the next 2,000 years, most screws, and any associated bolts, were cut by hand. However, demand for screw threads and fasteners created increasing pressure for a more industrialized process. J&W Wyatt had patented such a concept in 1760 and Jesse Ramsden in 1770 introduced the first form of screw-cutting lathe. However, without a practical means of achieving industrialization and with no standards then, the industry continued primarily as was. Maudslay then introduced the first industrially practical screw-cutting lathe in 1800 that combined elements such as the slide rest, change gears and lead screw to achieve the effect. However, whilst screws and bolts could be manufactured with interchangeable components, the lack of any standards thwarted general interchangeability. In 1841, James Whitworth collected a large number of samples from British manufacturers and proposed a set of standards including the angle of thread and threads per inches. The proposals became standard practice in 1860 and a highly standardized and industrialized sector developed that we recognize today. The history of electrical power generation can be traced from its genesis with the Parthian battery, around 200 AD, to custom-built examples of generators such as the Hippolyta Pixii, 1832, to the first products such as Siemens generators, 1866, to Westinghouse's utility provision of AC electricity, 1886, and the subsequent standardization of electricity provision from the introduction of the first standard plugs and sockets to standards for transmission and the formation of National Grids, UK. National Grid, 1926. The history of modern computing infrastructure can be traced from its genesis with the Z3 computer, 1943, to custom-built examples such as Leo or Lyons Electronic Office, 1949, to the first products such as IBM 650, 1953, to rental services such as Timshare, 1964, to commodity provision of computing infrastructure and more recently utility provision with Amazon EC2, 2006. It's also worth noting the hockey stick effect of the graph. When a novel activity appears, it first evolves mainly through understanding rather than rapidly spreading. As our understanding of the activity increases, we reach a tipping point that the act now rapidly spreads through multiple waves of custom-built examples and then products. As the act becomes widespread, our understanding of it increases until this becomes embedded in our social systems and in many cases almost invisible. We no longer consider how it is constructed, it is almost a given and can in many cases be buried in higher order systems as a component. For example, the once wonder of the nut and bolt is now hidden inside the machine or the car or the toaster. For interest, this hockey stick pattern is similar to that found by Boisset, Canals and Macmillan in their simulation of iSpace using an agent-based approach to modeling knowledge flows. Their work looked at how knowledge spreads through economic and social systems by examining the interactions of agents, i.e. individuals. One of the things they demonstrated confirmed a previous expectation that knowledge is first abstracted and codified before it rapidly diffuses, see figure 81. The is the same pattern within my data where first our understanding and certainty over an activity increases, i.e. it is abstracted and codified, before it rapidly becomes widespread. See figure 81, simulation of iSpace. For more details. The pattern of evolution that I used as the x-axis of my map had some sense of validity in history. I could with some confidence describe how things would evolve even though I couldn't say precisely when. Looking back, I could now see that the term innovation does appear to be currently used to describe changes in different states of evolution. Some things described as innovations are genuinely novel, new and hence uncertain activities, i.e. genesis. By virtue of being uncertain, then the appearance of these is almost impossible to predict and you cannot know with certainty what will appear. However, many things described as innovations are simply improvements to an existing activity and part of a visible process of evolution that is driven by competition. Whilst you cannot predict when these changes will occur as evolution cannot be plotted over time, you can predict what will happen. This notion is contrary to the more random perception of innovation. Amazon EC2, a utility computing infrastructure service, commonly known as cloud computing, wasn't a random accident but instead it was inevitable that some company would provide utility computing infrastructure. Far from being like navigators in a storm constantly coping with the maelstrom around us, it appears that the sea has structure. Mapping seemed to have merit and I had a purpose, to teach everyone who would listen. Alas, it was 2008 and I was fast running out of cash. I would have to turn mapping to a profit one way or another.